At the end of the day, you know, we're media geeks. So, you know, we wanted to understand how this content gets captured, how it's created, why are you delivering this content to this third party, etc. So we started building this bottom up, meaning we started with clubs.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. We are finishing up our series of focusing on AI in sports, talking to some great companies I had the fortune of speaking with over the course of this month. Stay tuned for next month, where we're actually going to be talking about sports tech for women's sports and how sports tech and technology in general is helping drive the adoption and bringing fans to, let's say, women's sports and helping women's sports grow in general. It's a fascinating lineup of guests that we have for you. But to bring home our AI and sports topic, I've got Xavier Green, co-founder and CTO of Scoreplay on the episode today. Scoreplay is a company that essentially is a media hub to help you manage your digital assets. I don't know if I'm doing a great job of introducing it. I will let Xavier do a better one. Welcome to the show, Xavier.
Thanks, Ron. Very nice to meet you, and thanks for the invite. I mean, you put it simply, and we love putting things simply. So yes, essentially, we built Scoreplay, an all-in-one media platform built for professional sports. So think of it as, you know, a media operating system for professional sports. We focus on this industry. It's our passion. We know there's great things to build, great media workflows to push. So that's what we built with Scoreplay. So essentially, as a sport organization, it can be a club, a federation, league, competition organizer. You've got Scoreplay, and we help four main areas of your media business. One, naturally, we centralize all of your assets onto our platform in the cloud. So all the photos you capture, video you capture, everything you produce internally, marketing teams, creative teams, broadcast ingestion, all these things land on Scoreplay. And that's where the AI kicks in. We help you index this content. You know, bear in mind, most of our sport customers are producing anywhere between 2,000 to 10,000, 15,000 media assets per week. So the AI we have built is there to index this content. Okay, this came from a game. This was a training session. This was a sponsor activation. We detected this player in this clip. We detected this gameplay in this short form video content, etc. So we help index that content so you can make sense of everything you're producing. And that's the interesting aspect. We help you build the rules to automatically distribute this content to every relevant stakeholder. So we have a mobile app for players, we have a sponsor platform, broadcast platform, and obviously then there's the internal search engine for every internal team within a sport organization.
I mean, Xavier has come here to play, huh? We were going for a nice easy start and he was firing right from the get-go. So appreciate that, man. No super introduction. And I think a really good job of setting the context. I should actually do a better job of setting the context. This is not my normal background or place that I'm recording in. I'm actually in London at the Emirates Stadium for a conference. This is the conference, SEG3, okay. If you can see that. It's a sports, entertainment, and gaming conference. For anybody who's interested, I'm sure we'll put out some content about it after the event. But coming back to Xavier, and maybe a topic related to media and entertainment, before we get to Scoreplay, I always want to know a little bit about the person. So, Xavier, what brought you to setting up this company or being part of the founding team? Also, your background is a English, French, Francophile who's living in Portugal. I found all of that super interesting.
I can give you a tiny bit of background. So as you mentioned, I'm half French, half Scottish. It's more Scottish than
Scottish.
British.
Sorry, I said English. That's horrible.
That's fine. So half French, half Scottish, lived most of my youth in Spain and currently living in Portugal. So interesting mix. About myself, engineering background, passionate about tech from day one. And more than just tech, I've always been passionate about building things. And I think that started when I was about 12 years old. And that's the intersection of building and tech. So in France, when you're 12, you need to do a 1 week internship in a company. It's something just, you know, start getting you familiar with the real world out there. And I was sent to my godfather's robotics company. Of course, I'm 12 years old. I barely know how to count. I can't do much in a company. And the whole week was basically he had bought every component needed to build a computer, not a laptop, obviously. And then basically he was like, okay, you have 1 week to build your own computer from all these pieces. So, you know, you had the hard disk, you had the motherboard, you have RAM, etc. And if you manage to build the computer after 1 week, it's yours, you can take it back home. So that was obviously amazing. And that's probably what, you know, pushed me then towards engineering. I built that computer, took it back home, which was my first computer that I kept for over 5 years. So that sort of built my drive for technology. And then little by little, I went from, you know, hardware more into software. And because I always, you know, loved the business side of things as well, the intersection of that became, you know, sort of entrepreneurship. Tried a couple of initial companies between, you know, 18 and 20 years old. Both failed naturally. And then in 2018, I met up with Vic in New York. I was working for Amazon, and I moved to New York to work for Datadog at that time. And Vic is actually my current co-founder as well with Scoreplay. We created a first company together called Hydra. And basically, it was automated video highlights for amateur sports and mainly five-a-side football or soccer for those in the US. Basically, we put one security camera on every football field. We recorded that. We built an AI to build highlights, and then we would send it to every player. So it was a fun side project that we built while still at university. It was acquired 2 years ago by a big five-a-side football chain in the US. And that's when we decided to move to Lisbon, start Scoreplay. We had, you know, obviously because we had sold that previous company, we could auto fund Scoreplay in the beginning, which is a huge luxury. And yeah, that's how I moved to Lisbon. Obviously, aside from the tech, I'm really into surfing and kite surfing, which explains Lisbon. And apart from that, you know, big reader, love reading a book on the beach. So yeah, Lisbon was a central part in my little experience.
Well, first of all, congratulations on choosing Lisbon, because it's also one of my favorite cities in the world. Also, the first city that I did a little surfing camp in, Ericeira, just down the way.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
that's where I learned to surf. Well, I can't say I surf, but I can stand on a board for some time, let's put it that way. But it's something that I love to do. So amazing. Yeah, really nice. That's why I want to get the backstory out of the way, so that we get a little bit of flavor of who I'm talking to. Congratulations on, obviously, on the exit of your company as well. And I like that transition. You basically became a content creator, or that's what Hydra sounded like you were doing.
Yeah,
you were
exactly. You were
creating content, capturing video and broadcasting it. And then you saw the other side of the problem, that there is so much content and you don't know what to do with it. And you become the hub for distribution, and which is what Scoreplay is. And one of the reasons, I mean, this has been a curated month of inviting guests, and we've had people from motorsport and AI for injury prevention and all sorts of great topics. I really wanted to speak to you guys because I could see, I mean, it's a clear pain point that a lot of, let's say, marketing teams in sports have. And your approach was also quite interesting. Maybe talk to us about some key use cases or key success stories. Because looking at your website, I can see that you've worked with the guys like at West Ham, you've worked with AS Monaco, you've worked in the MLS in different clubs and different leagues. So what has been the constant feedback that you get from them?
Great question. And yes, in fact, you have really, you know, built that transition between Hydra and Scoreplay. Between these two projects, it's exactly what you mentioned. You know, because before we're in amateur sports, you don't capture and you don't build so much content. So on that side, we're focusing on the creation of content, which is what we're doing. And then when we sold that company, we're like, okay, what can we do in pro sports? We wanted to stay in media, wanted to stay in sports, and just, you know, wanted to understand what's the, you know, status of media management in sports. And that's where we saw that the first huge pain point is media management. Because, you know, as you know, there's multiple trends that we see ongoing. First one, there's so many ways, new ways of capturing content. You know, before, especially in pro sports, you had a broadcaster, they would record in real time, deliver in real time. You know, now, you know, clubs, leagues, federations, they have their own photographers. They have their own videographers on this side of the pitch, you know, with handheld video devices. Communication teams are recording new content on their phones. You have automated video cameras. You know, Pixalot are doing an amazing job at that. Lately, you also have Tempus X, you know, entering this market with their, you know, automated 8K cameras. And they're putting like not one, not two, but four, eight, 10 cameras per stadium to capture content from every different angle automatically. So first of all, now we're, you know, getting all of that content. That's the first thing. And then second thing is we have to deliver this content to so many stakeholders. Same thing. Old model, broadcaster delivers to fans. New model, you know, this, I'm going to say the right holder, they have to deliver internally. And it's not just marketing communication. It's sales teams, sponsorship teams. You know, you mentioned West Ham or lately Monaco. I was with them last week for an event. You know, one of their biggest use cases is delivering tailor-made content in real time to eToro. eToro being, you know, their biggest sponsor and partner. And they're entitled to having not only, you know, match footage, but also all of behind the scenes content that Monaco produces, because they don't want to just be, you know, the face of Monaco on match day, but also they want to be the storytellers between the brand eToro and the club Monaco. And Scoreplay is that media platform that will help distribute and collaborate on content creation between these two entities. So there's sponsors, you have to deliver content to players. Players are obviously the biggest ambassadors of sport organizations, broadcasters, and, you know, Apple and the MLS is interesting. You know, Apple is asking the MLS to basically now start recording on their phones on match day what's happening in the locker room, what's happening pregame, what's happening in the bus, and send that in the highest quality possible to Apple so they can also start building that story of why they're getting into professional sport. And Scoreplay is helping, you know, ease that flow of content, then external media outlets. So, you know, we're in a world today where you have to, even fans, we have to distribute that content, and it has to be the right content distributed to the right person. And that's where Scoreplay comes in, just to be that central platform. We're a backend platform. You know, we're not the OTT provider. We're not the website builder. We're not the fan app builder, but we're the backend infrastructure that helps you build these media workflows.
Yeah, and that's such a powerful thing, especially the last one that you mentioned, the fans themselves. And I've seen a few applications where fans can also, or let's say sports teams or rights holders, can gather content even from fans, from UGC, so user-generated content also coming into play. I mean, it's so weird. At one side, it feels like we're constantly starved for content. Everybody's constantly craving content about their new team and their favorite teams and athletes and such. And at the same time, there is so much content being created.
Yes.
So the problem of exactly what you said, finding the right content for the right audience at the right time as well. And that becomes a very interesting problem to solve, which you guys tackled.
And just on that last thing you mentioned, you know, about use cases and how, you know, clubs and customers play into this. That's it. You know, that's a key part of it, because obviously we're not from the pro sports industry, which is, you know, hard to penetrate this industry, as you must know. So at the beginning, it's difficult, but then you see like super interesting network effects play in. But, you know, most of the features we have, most of the, you know, AI-powered workflows that we have, they're built by our customers. So we are the platform that delivers that feature to our customer. But, they're, you know, it's our customers that think about these use cases, that understand the pain points they have and come to us saying, hey, what you've built is great, but it would be great if you could do this. And that's a you know, really interesting aspect. And just recently, we signed the Sacramento Kings in NBA. And they came to us saying, okay, we love your media platform, but now we have a big pain point, which is, you know, we're selling merch on, you know, different online channels. And, you know, managing the media associated with each merch item is really a pain, because, you know, our catalog changes very often. And when you're buying a jersey, I don't want to just show you a jersey on a hanger. I want to show you, you know, the last dunk of the player in the game last night wearing that jersey, and I want you to really feel the brand, and that's ultimately what you're purchasing. So they came to us saying, hey, can you add e-commerce feature on Scoreplay? So from Scoreplay, we can automatically detect merchandising items, and then you're one click away from synchronizing all of my merch online locations with the asset. It's the last feature we built together. Naturally, you know, these workflows, they're, you know, they come from the industry, they come from the clubs, the leagues, the federation themselves, you know, and we're just the intermediary helping, you know, build and deliver that feature to them.
And boom, that's where the AI steps in as well, because you can use computer vision to do the brand recognition, to do the object recognition, and then extrapolate that solution to, as you said, identify a real pain point, or in this case, it's not so much a pain point, but an opportunity. Where from a video clip, I can say, hey, let's drive some commerce. So just the last couple of bits on the business, and then I want to speak a bit on the AI side. So this is purely B2B, and you're selling, it's a solution that you sell not just to teams, but also to leagues, to all sorts of rights holders, right? So the team can acquire you, but a league can as well. Who else? A broadcaster, perhaps?
Yeah. So the first, you know, part, and this is, you know, part of the Scoreplay DNA, you know, we built Scoreplay bottom up. So you know, we started with operational teams. At the end of the day, you know, we're media geeks. So you know, we wanted to understand how this content gets captured, how it's created. Why are you delivering this content to this third party, etc.? So we started building this bottom up, meaning we started with clubs. So we started with football clubs. The beta we ran for 6 months in order to actually build a product was with 10 different football clubs worldwide, you know, different sizes. But we started with clubs. So that was our first customer, and that's our volume market. And the good thing is we've been able to transition the team from, you know, club use case to a league federation use case. So a league use case, we just signed the LNB, so the French Basketball League, for example. And then, you know, we're scaling this to federation, you know, International Ski Federation. We won the bid for the Paris 24 Olympics. So we'll be covering the media solution for them. So basically, when we say pro sports, it's, you know, a large panel of opportunities from clubs to leagues to federations, competition organizers like the Freeride Ski Tour, and little by little, also perhaps, you know, content producers and broadcasters. So, you know, with Wasserman or Sunset Vine, we'll be helping them, you know, cover their media needs. So we're focusing on pro sports because there's so much to build, and the workflows are really different from other industries, because, you know, essentially today, sports club is a brand, and we have to, you know, help them build that media brand, and that's the tool we're building. So focus on sports, but then that still, you know, offers a wide range of opportunities.
Exactly, as you said, pro sports has so much yet to be solved, especially in this area, in the media distribution space.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
You talk about AI and how it can help solve this problem. So we already addressed one, which is, let's say you use computer vision to identify the product in whatever media asset that you've got, and then you'll attach a commerce piece to it, a link to buy. How else have you found AI to come into your, let's say, product workflow, and how is it helping deliver a better solution to clients?
Yeah, of course. Like you say, there's two parts of AI. First of all, we are a tech company. You know, we build a tech solution. Like you mentioned, you know, we sell this B2B and not B2C, which obviously changes, you know, the marketing strategy, the product marketing strategy, etc. So first of all, we really leverage AI internally. So that's the first thing, just in terms of productivity, you know, internal tooling, you know, whether it's to build presentations on Canva, whether because we don't have yet, like, you know, a full-time designer in-house, we've used a lot of Gen AI, you know, to build our...
Preaching to the choir, man. Everybody is already using Canva and some sort of DALL-E, Stable Diffusion, like whichever.
Exactly.
Pick an application.
Exactly. And that enhances our internal productivity. You know, when we launched Scoreplay support program, basically depending on your internal need and also the license, because, you know, we're a simple, you know, yearly license fee to get Scoreplay. You know, we've leveraged a lot of AI to build all the training required to use Scoreplay, and even all the videos that then you can use to understand this or this feature, even the chatbot when there's something you don't understand. So basically what we did is we took every single incoming message, you know, customer support message, internal discussions, etc., and we used that data trained on LLMs to then create an automated way for you to, you know, get help on Scoreplay. Ultimately, you can obviously chat with someone on the team, but we're trying to leverage these tools. And this is more, you know, internal productivity and helping a small team. Today, we're 12 people, build a product that, you know, internationally can scale to any pro sports organization. So there's, you know, the internal AI, and then obviously there's the AI that we build into our tool. You know, at first, this is for indexing purposes. So, you know, detect this player, detect this situation, detect this brand logo, etc. And more, now we're using this for content production. So, you know, we work with Wembenyama, ComSport agency. So basically his communication and marketing agency. And, you know, the great thing, well, now he's been drafted in the NBA, of course, and on the Scoreplay ComSport platform, we have content from when he was in France. We have content from his journey to the US. And then we have content from when he landed in the US and his first experience of, you know, what the US is. You know, wouldn't it be great if 6 months from now you can go on Scoreplay and you can be like, okay, I want to generate a 3-minute video format required for Instagram, taking all of the content that we've seen. And I want this to be on the draft of Wembenyama. And then, you know, you would wait for the Scoreplay media magic to happen. And then we can also help you in the content production, but not just purely artificial, but really reuse all of the content that you've centralized and indexed on Scoreplay to build these new media experiences. So that's also where we're driving the product right now.
Super powerful stuff. So first of all, if you're getting some Spurs tickets, then please think of a friend here in Berlin, in London. But no, I mean, the fact that this has been such an incredible story and he is the next king or next coming of the king or whatever.
Yes.
But y'all are involved with these kind of projects is also another shout out to why. Because I kept seeing the name Scoreplay in a bunch of different places. So I wanted to chat with you guys and bring you on the show. But what I loved actually about your answer was the first part of the answer, where you talked about using AI as tools for improving your own efficiency, internal use of these tools. Like that's what we do as well. We're a small team of 7-8 people, and how do we maximize output? So the use of AI of how it impacts your clients is one side, and you explained that clearly, but also the fact that this is not just for clients. We use it. We use GPT tools, we use image AI image creators, whether it's AI music generators, whatever it might be, whatever the purpose it serves, that it helps you increase your productivity and do more with less, whether it's people or time or other resources. So exactly. Great to hear, Zav. Okay, let's talk about the future. What's coming up for you guys over the next 12, 16 months? I know you did a fundraise. Was it last year? I think you raised about $1 million. Do you have something in another fundraise coming up? Talk to us about the 12, 18 months looks like.
Yeah, of course. You know, first of all, and this, you know, may be, you know, a tiny bit of the, you know, the French and European mentality kicking in. You know, with Vic, we built Scoreplay. But, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were going to build a profitable company in the long term, which is why we auto-funded Scoreplay at the beginning until we were definitely sure we had met product market fit. For us, that was important, you know, personally. And second, you know, and that's also the beauty of a B2B SaaS is that, you know, you're charging a yearly license for your company. So normally, you know, the experience shouldn't be about burning cash just to acquire customers. We want to have a sane relationship with our, with our customers, which also means a sane relationship with our business. So we started auto-funding Scoreplay. That we then, you know, we did a few rounds of business angel investment. And it was less about the cash because we're nearly profitable at that moment, and more about having key people come in and help us in our entrepreneur journey. And that's helping us build the company. Obviously, it also meant helping us enter and penetrate, you know, professional sports. And that's where Nicolas Julia from Sorare came in. And he's been, you know, a key player in the Scoreplay journey. You know, he helped us as, you know, entrepreneurs that do not come from pro sports understand how that business runs, understand the industry, and how you can mix both worlds. So he was key in the beginning of the adventure. Then Mario Götze came in and opened, you know, a whole new level of football vertical for us. End of last year, Kevin Durant came in at a critical moment where we're entering the US. It's not easy as a European company to enter the US and do so successfully. So, you know, him and 35V in general have really helped us on that. And we recently signed a yearly deal with a Major League Pickleball. And obviously that was, you know, very much thanks to them, and help us understand, you know, what's also the future of US sports. So that's been really, really interesting. So we've done these different rounds of angel investment. And yet just recently, we've done our seed funding. So we just raised our seed round led by a US investor. We'll communicate and the info will go public in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, we're really happy about it. It's also, you know, a new adventure and a new page in you know, for the Scoreplay team. And the idea for that is twofold. One, you know, continue securing our enterprise product, and that requires scaling out the tech team. Right now, you know, we're four in the tech team. It's been great so far, but it's time now that we expand that team. And second is entering the US and entering the US properly. Yeah, you know, if you want to really go after that market, especially in media and entertainment, you know, non-arguably the biggest market that we have as a company, but you need to do so, you know, in the right manner, put in the right resources in the US, and invest the right amount of money to take that market seriously. So that's kind of where we're going.
Yeah, I mean, all sounds really good, actually. I mean, obviously, you've dropped like a who's who of the sports tech investment world. You've got a big footballer, you've got a big basketballer, and clearly, probably the poster boy of the Web3 movement in sports as well, with Sorare in there and Nicolas Julia. Yeah. So kudos to you guys and the team for executing hard and being able to attract these kind of investors who are seasoned investors. Mario Götze as well, he has been around the startup, sports tech startup for a while. All right, Zav, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. We have to wrap it up, unfortunately. I could have gone on and on. So I will leave you with my last question, which is my favorite question to ask. I always like to believe that we're sports fans first when we choose this industry to work in. So I'd like to know what has been your favorite sporting moment, either one that you watched as a fan or participated as an athlete yourself?
Oh, interesting. Well, obviously, there's, you know, there's countless. You know, I could tell you when I was in New York and France won the World Cup, and you know, French fans basically blocked Fifth Avenue, just cruising through New York to reach Brooklyn, and then in Brooklyn we were all, you know, taking over the streets. No cars were allowed. All cheering together and drinking Ricard, and the whole atmosphere was as if, you know, I was in the southeast of France. You know, I'm actually in Montpellier now. It was the same atmosphere, but in Brooklyn, which was mad. No, probably, you know, my the real one was, you know, when Italo Ferreira, surfer, won, you know, the Tokyo Summer Olympics gold medal in 2020. And for me, that was important for multiple reasons. One, I'm a surfer, so it's obviously, you know, great to see these kind of athletes. And two, because Italo has been super good at, you know, storytelling how he, you know, came about surfing. You know, his dad was a fisherman, and he would take, you know, wooden planks off the boat, and that's how he started surfing. And then he got lent a surfboard from a couple of his friends. He got involved into different, surf competitions in Brazil. He got sponsored. He got surfboards. He would sell these surfboards to have enough money to support him and his family. And, you know, what's amazing to see is you know, that route from that local Brazilian surfer with, you know, very little means to surf, you know, didn't even have a surfboard, you know, all the way to that, you know, winning that gold medal in the Olympics. You know, so for me, that journey is mad. And, you know, I'm just as much about, you know, the storytelling of that sport journey as I am about the result itself. So that's probably my you know, fondest sport memory.
And that's why I love asking this question, because you'll get a bit of the fan. And also very often hear about new sports. You don't usually get an answer from surfing on the show, but it'll also invariably connect back the dots to what you're doing. As you said, you spoke about storytelling, and this is exactly what you've done with your first company and now with Scoreplay as well. So, man, amazing job. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I appreciate you rushing about, but we're glad we got you here finally. So, yeah, best of luck to you and the Scoreplay team, and keep us posted about all the cool stuff you get up to.
Yeah, thank you so much. Always a fun of your podcast. I won't listen to myself. I hate that. But yeah, thank you for this opportunity. And let's chat again soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it. All right, guys, that is a wrap for another episode. And like I said, bringing an end to our focus on AI in sports. Our entire series, we've done 5 episodes this month. June has been a longer month. But I think we've had 5 great chances, 5 great bites at the apple of really understanding how AI can be used in sports from different perspectives. I mentioned at the top, next month, it's all about women's sports. So stay tuned for that. See you guys then. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.